Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Banky and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, December 3rd, 2008, grapples with yet another heartbreaking loss for the Packers and tries to keep hope alive for the 2008 season. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
We got to be a little more physical in certain spots of our game the last couple of weeks. I mean, when the offense isn't humming, the defense picks the offense up. No different special teams. That's why they call it a team. Every phase needs to pick up the other phase when it's not going well.
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Corey.
And this is Aaron.
And today, I will try to convince Aaron that the season is not over. And we'll talk about what has transpired on a busy week in Packerland. So let's get started.
Where do we start? But the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We got the good. We got Greg Jennings.
Words do not apply to Greg Jennings anymore.
Brandon Jackson.
Making a case for the starting job.
Jason Spitz.
Filling in admirably at center.
And we got the bad. We got Bob Sanders.
Next.
Anyone on the defensive line not named Aaron Campman.
Next.
Derek Frost.
Cut.
And we got the ugly. We got Mike Stock.
Mike Stock, coming off of his idiotic comments to Bob McGinn about John Ryan seeing a punting specialist.
And somebody's got to look at his bio.
Have you read my bio? No, we haven't, Mike. We don't like to read special teams coaches' bios.
If I'm reading the special teams coach bio, he's about to get fired.
No, wait a second. Let me make something perfectly clear here. We are big-time Packer geeks. We know this. We're nerds. We understand. But even we do not sit around reading special team coaches' bios.
Although, when Mike Stock said to read his bio,
I read his bio, too. Exactly. But to come off of those comments and those statements and to have his squad pretty much single-handedly throw away the Panther game, he's really put his job on the line.
Well, let's talk about somebody putting stuff on the line. I do not believe the Packers season is over, and I'll tell you why. And, you know, they may get, if they get to the playoffs, it could be just like, okay? But even before that, we could get to that point where it's Minnesota versus Arizona in the desert. Minnesota is ahead.
Right, they lose.
Fourth and 21. We're playing Denver. Right. You're at that game.
I am. With my wife, first time at Lambeau.
Wow.
And, you know, the game was way out of hand. We were blowing out the Broncos. Favre was on the sideline at this point, and everyone's in the stands is looking up at the boxes because they all have TVs, so they're watching. And then I'll never forget it. We saw someone go like this, and then everyone got just insane excited, started cheering.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
The crowd
and
then told the players. Yeah.
The players knew because of us. It's magical.
It's a world famous game.
I think,
as a Packer fan, and for that era, I mean, besides the Super Bowl, it was a period
amazing
of time.
Amazing game.
It was
amazing
that,
game.
Those two games happening at the same time. Right. Then it was Seattle. Al Harris returns the touchdown, the dagger for the touchdown playoff win at Lambeau that we needed desperately after losing to Atlanta the previous
season.
And then we go to Philadelphia and go 4th and 26.
And there could be some symmetry here.
There could be a lot of similarities.
There could be a miracle late season run. Gets us into the home playoff game that we win. And then the defense gives the season away.
But again, not over. The season is not over for the Packers. You're hearing it from me. I am the webmaster. I am in control.
All right. Corey has convinced me that the season is not over.
Or even if it is over, it still could be exciting.
It's going to be. It's the Packers. The Packers are always exciting. Even when they're horrible, they're exciting because they're the Green Bay Packers.
I don't know. When I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of exciting.
You had Lynn Dickey, you had Paul Kaufman, you had JJ, you had Lofton. That was excitement there.
Let's talk about the goal line excitement.
Or lack thereof. I mean, you got to think that failure at the goal line was pretty much, you know, the dagger in the season for me. I mean, it's just the complete inability. You have Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball all over the yard. He's doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants, for the entire second half. And then to take the ball away from him on the goal line there, three calls in a row, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just don't think you criticize play calling in those moments. You got to go.
You don't.
You got to go for the high percentage plays. And you know what? I think I kind of agree with you, only because where you're coming from is that you see Mike McCarthy, and I kind of am seeing him this way. There's an angle of him that is delusional. Like, he thinks...
That is very true.
He wants, and he thinks we have a power running game and a power running team.
Right.
And he also thinks we have a really
stout
excellent
defense
and a really excellent special teams because... Right. He plays and play calls that way.
Right.
Even though during the game, it's almost like he wants you to think that's who he is.
Right.
And then he's really like a chuck it for Jesus in the schoolyard and have West Coast offense.
The thing is, you don't run Brandon Jackson into the middle of a line. I mean, there are high percentage plays involving Aaron Rodgers. There's a quarterback sneak. There's a QB bootleg. You know, there are like slant plays. There are all sorts of things
that
Aaron Rodgers can do.
I personally enjoy a good fullback dive.
That's fine, but when it's not successful, and then they kick the field goal on fourth down, I mean, I understand the logic of taking the points and playing defense, but when your defense has lost every single game that your team has been in up until this point, getting the points and playing defense is fine. That's a great decision in October. But in November, going into December, when your defense is decimated and hasn't made a play all year in crunch time, you go for the touchdown.
I mean, human nature tells you to think about everything. I mean, I thought about it. You know, I thought I was comfortable in the second down call, which I would have used on the fourth down call. So I had a lot of confidence in the play that we had. Actually, two plays that I had in mind there. So I definitely thought about it, but. You know, I think when you look at it from a pure big picture strategic standpoint, you take the 3 points, you're up two, you know, you're up three with 2 minutes left. And you got to kick the ball, cover it, and play good defense.
Proving your point that he's delusional.
Thank you, delusional Mike McCarthy.
Play good defense. They haven't played good defense in the crunch all year. And let me just point out one other thing really quick. He says he has two plays there that he's, quote, confident in. Apparently not too confident, Mike, because you kicked the field goal. Thanks for playing. But, you know, that said, they did a lot of good things on offense on Sunday, especially in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the great bomb to Driver out of the end zone. I totally wasn't expecting that. And in the second half, he really opened up the playbook. I mean, he really, really opened it up. So that was good to see. You know, maybe we can begin the game that way.
Yeah, I would really like it. I like the whole Brandon Jackson thing. I liked reading about Edgar Bennett and Dorsey Levens this week. That was kind of fun.
Always fond memories there. but why does it take Grant getting hurt and Jackson having a great game for the coaching staff to see, hey, this kid can run the ball?
Well, I don't think it's that, though. I don't think it's that. I think that's a little simplistic. I think it's more about... You look at every game, even the last 2 weeks, you know, the score runs up. We can't go to the run anymore. And it's hard to mix it up when you haven't established one thing. So it's like you're mixing, even when you look at Philadelphia, when they're using a lot of backs in their success at using it.
Right.
Tampa Bay, everybody. Everybody but us that can use two backs. They really focus on mixing it up and they really run the ball more than us. We do not run the ball a lot.
Well, you know, okay, there's that case to be made, but we're giving Grant 30 carries a game like a month ago. I mean, you can't give 5-6 carries to Brandon Jackson? I mean, we knew in preseason he was talented.
It's true, and it's funny too because he reserved screens for Jackson. He reserved
third downs only.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it was this game or the last game, one of the defenders, it was either a Saint defender or a Carolina defender, I can't remember which, but one of them was interviewed and they said, like, we just keyed on Jackson every time he was in the game. We knew there was like 60% chance that it was a screen pass to Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the truth because he's a third down back and they never run any. I mean, I was shocked. I was looking at stats this week about how many passes Jackson's caught compared to Grant. Grant's had like 8-9 receptions,
which says a
all
lot
all year.
The coaching staff trusts Jackson to block. Yeah. And have good hands.
And now run the ball. I mean, the re-signing of Ryan Grant is turning into a bigger and bigger debacle by the week.
I just got one thing to say to y'all. Suck it! 5-7, 5-7, 5-7, 5-7. You're missing Brett Favre.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, our good old friend, Travis Smith.
We had to play that because he is a diehard Carolina Panther fan, and he does deserve to, whatever, for whatever reason, say that.
Yeah, we went to school with him. Corey roomed with him. He was a good friend of mine in my class. But I would like to address Travis on one point. We are not missing Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers is having a great year. Oh, and how did Favre do this past weekend? Oh, that's right, no touchdowns. And an interception.
You know, when we scored a touchdown, he knew it was over.
Yeah.
He was not thinking Steve Smith. I'm sorry.
No,
he wasn't thinking Charles Woodson.
Anyway, so Travis, shout out to you.
Hey, how often does Carolina win at Lambeau?
Not too often. Hey, yeah. Well, we have to go back to Steve Berline's quarterback draw. The Ray Rhodes year.
Well, going back, let's we got another fan. Andrew in Atlanta was at the game with one of our staff members, Iron Man. Let's hear what he has to say.
Aaron and Corey, hey, this is Andrew in Atlanta. First, again, Aaron, the hat has to go. But next, hey, I was in Green Bay for the Carolina game this past weekend where I hooked up with Iron Man and some other bloggers that he invited. Iron Man is a great guy, by the way, and a true fan. Anyway, the problem with the bloggers was we were staying in different hotels and we didn't sit together, so we couldn't maximize the experience. So I think you guys should put together an annual Cheesehead TV blog fest in Green Bay. So we can all get together.
That's a great idea.
That is a fantastic idea.
Andrew in Atlanta comes up with a lot of good ideas. He was the one who came up with the Cheesehead TV flyer.
I know.
Which is a brilliant idea.
The man is always on. There's no off position on the genius switch. Andrew, we will take it under advisement.
Yeah, anybody interested, email us, and maybe we'll have to do it next year.
Yeah, definitely. Somebody else that needs to take something under advisement is Mike Stock.
I don't think he does. I think what he's going to do is get some walking papers.
I think what he's going to do is tell you to read his bio. Wow. After his idiotic comments to Bob McGinn and telling people to read his bio, his units basically came out and almost pretty much cost the Packers the game.
And now Derek Frost is cut.
Yeah. And I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, but we got a new punter today.
New punter.
Signed late in the day, around 6 o'clock.
Woohoo!
Very exciting.
I'm very excited.
I loved McCarthy's quote when he was asked what they expect of the new punter. Mike said he expects the punter to kick it in the right direction.
That would be an excellent start.
Hey, why not? Why not? But, you know, the coverage units, this is one thing I wanted to say. Now, a lot of people came out after this game and said Mike Stock needs to be fired. Now, you will notice, nowhere did I say he should be fired on the blog. I did say that McCarthy now has 4 games to evaluate what he thinks of Stock's work. Because, you know, a case can be made. When the season began and we had a competent coverage unit, you know, he had a lot of different guys.
He had different and better guys, true.
Right now, he's got the likes of JerMichael Finley on kickoff coverage.
Yeah.
Finley's not a wedge buster.
No.
He's not going down there to bust heads.
But let us not forget, also, our kick return units suck.
Yeah, they've
31,
been terrible.
31.
But again.
31.
I know. But 31. But there again, you've got guys who just are not special teams guys. You've cut
but
Tracy
that
White.
That always happens to every team. Though.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But your special teams units are usually made up of linebackers and defensive linemen, you know?
Yeah.
Where are we on the defensive line? But our starters are decimated. Okay. What do you think our backups are going to be?
I would agree with you. If you take away the John Ryan, Derek Frost situation.
Yeah.
But when you put that with the problems,
oh, yeah,
with the kick return,
yeah,
with why is Tremont Williams not returning punts? I'm not getting it. I know we're ranked pretty high, but I'm sorry. He should be back there.
Over Will Blackman?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. It's a bold statement.
Why not?
Well, because he plays from scrimmage quite a little bit. Now
yeah,
he's a starter.
Now.
You know, it's the old Woodson thing from last year. You don't want him getting hurt.
He's not Woodson.
No, I didn't
but
say he was.
But he has the breakout. He has the ability to put. I'm just saying on punt returns. I'm not saying on kickoff returns.
Right. I hear you.
And I like Blackman. Blackman's kind of been a disappointment. I think a lot of that is Stocks, just the special teams in general.
I know.
I think it's less Blackman though.
Yeah, no. I just, you know, it's just they got guys out there that just clearly have no interest in making a tackle. I mean, I think it was Desmond Bishop. just the most pathetic excuse of an effort to get off a block. And he was easily, all he had to do was shed his block and he would have destroyed Jones at like the 22-yard line. But he just doesn't even try and disengage. And that's across the board. So I don't know if that's coaching or if that's just the guys you got on the teams. But, you know, these last four games are going to be critical for Mike Stock to basically keep his job.
Well, let's hear what he has to say about that.
Well, he didn't take it from the practice field to the game on Sundays or Monday night. And it's a league of production, as you know, and didn't produce. So I think it was an element of time as eventually things have to change.
Yeah, like your job title.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
Welcome to This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, everybody's favorite segment.
I'm glad you didn't say that venerable series.
No. I like to switch it up. You know, I do have to note something here.
I love that.
I just want to say, ever since we started the video podcast, you don't do the dance anymore. You know, dude, it's all well and good for everyone to rip on Aaron for his hat.
You know.
But Corey gets all shy in front of the camera.
No. You know what it is? When you're the engineer, the art director, the cinematographer, the editor, the director, I don't have time. I don't have energy for the dance.
Right. I hear you. I'm just some schmo. Got lucky. I gotcha. This week in the Packer Blogosphere, we respond to those guys over at Packers Lounge and Pack One and his Cheesehead TV rap.
Oh, here, you gotta hear some of this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, Pack One, we're gonna level with you. That stuff is hot. Let me tell you, that is the hotness.
That's the best thing Aaron's ever heard in his life.
Easily. Just two things, real quick. On the video version of this track, you've got a picture of a woman wearing a hat, which is supposed to be a dig on me wearing my hat. Now, if you're going to make fun of my hat, find a picture of my hat, because that's not my hat. Second of all, wow, you live in Wisconsin. It's very apparent, my friend.
Well, you know who else lives in Wisconsin?
Who's that?
Packers Therapy.
Yes, they do.
They've got their finger on the pulse. And Rod Woodson is a cornerback for the Green Bay Packers.
A safety. Oh, my goodness. This week, one of their guys, Chris and Dave, who knows which is which, actually says, completely straight-faced, well, yeah, you know, they got, you know, Rod Woodson back at safety, and I just think that's a great move. Well, let me tell you guys, that would be a great move, bringing back Rod Woodson
Man.
To play safety for the Packers.
I mean, at least if I make gaffes like that, which I do. Well, you correct me.
But someone is on the line to correct.
That's why there's two people on this podcast. Because precisely. If I just did it, it would be lame.
Well, and to their credit, the other gentleman does correct him later. But it's just, wow. That's Rod Woodson? Really? And to wrap up Blogosphere real quick, welcome to the Packer Blogosphere to Cheesehead TV staff member Donald's designated driver.
Triple D is all I like to
call
him.
Has a blog entitled, He's Got All Kinds of Time. All kinds of time at blogspot.com. Check it out. Good stuff.
I'm ready to check out the Texans Packers preview. Ready.
Here it is.
I'm ready Friday. I'm ready Friday to get on the plane, go to Chicago, drive up from Chicago, meet my mom, my stepdad, go with my grandfather on Sunday to the game.
So jealous.
My cousin Dennis is going to be at Kroll's West, going to be eating some brats.
Hey, and if you're at Lambeau, dear listeners, check out, look out for Corey. He'll have some goodies.
Oh, if you're at Lambeau. Oh, yeah, I'll have goodies. And if you want goodies, email me or go on the forum, message me, and I'll bring you. You can come to Kroll's West. I'll give you all the goodies you want.
Cheesehead TV stuff.
Cheesehead TV. So, oh, and by the way, if you are in a Packer club, I want to mention this. If you're in a Packer club, like in your town, in your city, in your country, and let me know and send me an email because we want to give you good stuff.
All sorts of good stuff. Who we don't want to give good stuff to is the Texans on their first visit to Lambeau Field.
No.
Although I will say I am scared of Andre Johnson. I am definitely scared of the rookie Steve Slayton at running back. Why the Packers didn't draft this kid, I'll never know.
You hear a lot of people talking about Andre Johnson being the best wide receiver in the NFL. I know the first time I heard that, it was on ESPN, and I was like, you would get no.
And then it turns out they're right. Because, wow, he's a monster. But for me, the biggest matchup in this game is going to be Chad Clifton versus Mario Williams. I mean, if Clifton can handle him, Rodgers should tear apart their secondary.
Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at cheeseheadtv.com.